Hello, everybody, and welcome to the final episode of Sacred Screens, where my friend Mike and I get together and we talk about movies. In this final episode, what we're going to do is we're going to run down our top 10 movies of 2019. These are movies that we enjoyed the most, that mean the most, that had the most impact on us. And so maybe some of them are going to be one of your top movies of 2019. So I hope you enjoy our conversation and sharing of our top 10 movies of 2019. All right, Mike, we had so much fun doing the Oscar stuff. We're already almost a month and a half into 2020, but let's do our top 10 of 2019. We'll start with number 10. What was your number 10?
My number 10 was actually Ford versus Ferrari, which we talked about before. Just excellent movie, excellent acting. It's a movie that I can go back to. I can imagine this movie is going to climb up my top 10 as like the years go on and I revisit this year as I sometimes do, and I go, well, actually, what's my favorite movie that year? I can imagine this movie is going to be climbing up for me because it's extremely rewatchable. It's extremely enjoyable. It's something that I can throw on in the background while I'm doing something around the house and just be entertained by. Yeah, really, really good movie. And I love Matt Damon. I'll watch anything with him.
My number 10 is 1917.
Oh, nice.
I think this could shift around more and more, but sure. This is kind of just where I landed. There's a whole bunch, you know, within my 11, 12, 13, 14 that could almost interchange.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And
these are not set in stone.
Right. But for me right now at this moment, 1917 is number 10 because it was, for me, just I enjoyed the movie. It was great achievement. And what I didn't say when we were reviewing this for Best Picture Oscar race is that I think this is another movie that's about kindness. And taking care of one another even after life is done. And number 10. So what's your number 9?
My number 9 is Little Women.
All right.
I know I'm not the target audience for this movie. I know that there are a lot of things that go on in this movie that I couldn't relate to. But darn it, I just loved these little women. I could spend all day listening to their like family dynamics. I thought that they did a really, really good job with the quote unquote love story in there where it actually like makes sense. And I've heard a lot of other adaptations. You're sitting there and you're going, why are Joe and what's his name? Lori. Yeah. Why are Joe and Lori not together? Like, why does she reject him? Why don't they end up together? And when you watch this movie, you're like, oh, that totally makes sense to me that they work really, really well as friends, but they're not. He doesn't necessarily bring out the best in her, and she doesn't necessarily bring out the best in him. I just thought it was a great movie, and I will watch anything that Greta Gerwig directs.
But the women were regular size. They were not little.
I was
disappointed by that.
They're not tall, which doesn't make any sense because their mom is Laura Dern. And I'm like,
right, she...
I'm like, Laura Dern's huge. Like, she's like 6 feet tall.
Yeah. My number 9 is Dr. Sleep. This one, not many people saw, I don't think.
I did not see it.
The week I went and saw it, I rewatched The Shining and then watched this. This is the sequel to The Shining, and both from Stephen King in book form and as a movie now. And it, you know, The Shining is technically a movie about somebody's addiction.
It is technically a movie.
It's about addiction and the fear of what your addiction can do to yourself and your family. And Dr. Sleep is a movie about recovery and facing the trauma of your past and helping others heal from trauma too. And if you've watched Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, the show, the guy who did that whole show directed this, Mike Flanagan.
Okay.
And his horror movies have such like heart to them. Like there's a deep emotional core to it. And this one has a deep emotional core also. And I just started rewatching it again this week because it came out on Blu-ray, and I love this movie.
Nice. I'll have to check it out. My number eight is Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Mr. Rogers movie with Tom Hanks. Even though he's not the the main character, he plays Mr. Rogers in the movie. And a couple of things that I loved about this movie. One, just the inherent goodness that is Fred Rogers. He is the least offensive person you could possibly think of. I've never talked to anybody that's just like, I don't know, man, Mr. Rogers, he's not really for me. Like, everybody loves Mr. Rogers. And everything that I've read about him is that, like, his persona on camera and his persona off camera were very, very similar. And just he genuinely cared about people. He genuinely cared about the children who were watching his show. This movie was really, really well done about the effect that someone who loves Jesus and loves God, and B, who loves other people, can actually have on the world and have on the relationships around him, and to see the people affected by him. I loved this movie. Tom Hanks gives a very charismatic performance. Doesn't sound a thing like Mr. Rogers. Like, his voice does not sound at all like what Fred Rogers' voice actually sounds like, but I'm willing to forgive it. And plus, it takes place in Pittsburgh, my original hometown, and gotta love that.
Nice. I have yet to see that one, but it just came out this week on digital, so I should rent it. Or
it's like a warm hug, man, I'll tell you.
My number eight is Booksmart, and this is about two seniors in high school, two girls who have spent their whole high school career getting straight A's and just being, you know, bookworms and book smart, I guess. And they decide that, like, the last night that they're going to go to all these parties because everybody else in the school partied all throughout high school and still got into really good colleges. And so it's kind of almost like a crisis of identity for these two. And it's just a fun coming of age story. I laughed all the way through. You and I have talked about some problematic stuff with it, but but I think where is some of these coming of age stories with teenagers? One of my problems is a lot of them can be mean spirited. And this one, it's not. It's very kind, even with
it is
even with the quote unquote bullies, that there's humanity put to them. And it's just a fun movie, and it was towards the top of my list for most of the year, but recently kind of got bumped down by some other stuff, but it stayed in my top 10.
It's very entertaining. It's a much less offensive version of like Superbad or one of those, you know, teen coming of age movies. And Billy Lord has like a side role in this movie that is one of my favorite things, where she's basically playing a modern day version of Puck from Midsummer Night's Dream. Where she's just kind of this like floating character that just kind of weaves herself in and out of the story. And I thought it was really, really good too.
And I just love, you know, the message of this movie is trying to find your identity outside of strictly the things that you accomplish. So it's, it's good.
My number seven is The Two Popes. You and I have talked about this movie. I originally had it much higher on my list. I moved it down I don't know. It's a fluid list. I don't have to give any reasons as to why I moved it down.
You're fine.
It's my list. It is starring Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce as Pope Benedict and Pope Francis. And just going through like their relationship, and it's a wonderful movie. It is dealing with differences in theology and the relationships that we build because of that, the consequences of holding on to tradition and protecting a regime over doing what is right. Mm-hmm. And it has just some of the best performances that I've seen in a long time. I loved this movie. I wanted to stay with it for much longer than I did.
Yeah. It feels like these last seven, I anticipate we're going to have the same movies, but in different spots. So,
sure.
But that's good. But for me, my number seven is Jojo Rabbit.
And, nice. Yeah.
And we talked about this before, but this is just a great movie, I think. And it shows the complexities of situations we humans put ourselves in. And the fact that sometimes people get caught up in things just because they have no other choice. And it's a sweet movie. So that's all I can say. What's your...
I know. Are we getting older? We're like, we have all these like sappy, sweet movies. Like these are not edgy movies that we are
kindness.
Putting in. I know. We're just like, I don't know. We're like the Mr. Rogers movie, like Jojo Rabbit. Like, man, what is going on with us? I'm okay with it. My next movie, where we at right now, number six, is one that I'm imagining is higher up on your list. It is Avengers Endgame. You know, this is
you'd be correct, but
you know, obviously, this is the end of this phase for Marvel. It's the culmination of all the Avengers movies, and it's so good. It's so effective. It's long, but it doesn't feel long. The storyline is a little bit convoluted for a Marvel movie, seeing as it's about time travel and all that stuff, but they do it in a really, really easy to understand way. They do a great job of going back over the different Marvel movies, weaving back through the timeline, but just in a breezy way as well. And yeah, I loved this movie. It's definitely, I think when we think about 2019, 10 years from now, there's going to be a few movies that stick out. And I think this is going to be one of the ones that we go back to, and it's going to define the year, and it might even define the decade for movies.
Mm-hmm. Number six for me is Parasite.
Nice.
And, I've never been that big of a fan of, international films. I don't know why. Like Roma last year.
Open your mind, man.
Roma last year, I didn't care for it all that much. But recently, I've been trying to watch some things. I watched a movie called Terrified, which is a horror movie from Portugal, I think. And I think what Bong Joon-ho said at the Golden Globes was right about if you can just get over that barrier of 1 inch of subtitles, you could see a lot of good movies. And and Parasite is entertaining. It's fantastic. It has good message. It's just starting this year, I would have never thought a foreign language film would be on my top 10, but there it is at number six.
So my number five was a movie that you talked about earlier, Jojo Rabbit. Just a fantastic movie. Taika Waititi is an amazingly entertaining director. And he also plays a supporting role in this movie. It is an amazing movie about the effect that the adults around a child can have on that child and on their worldview and on their outlook in life, and how children are not born evil. They are raised to believe evil things, and they are affected by the world around them. But that there's still that innocence and that goodness in all the children in the world that are in those situations, and it's wonderful. I found out that the kid who's in it, who plays his best friend, is going to be starring in the reboot of Home Alone.
Home Alone.
And that makes me so happy. Like, I can't
on
tell
Disney
you how
Plus.
Happy. Yeah, man. Wait, no free ads on here. What are you talking about? but yeah, so it's a really, really great movie. I can't wait to rewatch it and rewatch it again.
My number five is The Irishman. I think just mainly because I'm a Martin Scorsese fan, and this is just a huge movie of his that is culmination of all his work and all his themes he's been dealing with throughout life. Being a Catholic, he holds a lot of Catholic guilt, and you can really see that come through in this film. And
yeah,
with De Niro, Pacino, and Pesci just all giving great performances, it's just a wonderful movie about the passing of time and coming to terms with your mortality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love The Irishman. It did not make my top 10 of the year, surprisingly, but I think it's a great movie. My number four is Parasite, which, you know, if that wins Best Picture tonight, I'll be very, very happy to see that. This movie weaves this storyline together and has some of the best twists and turns along the way. The acting is just phenomenal in it, and they do such a great job of the, you know, for all the things that we're saying, where we're like, oh, you know, we see all these movies of that, like, just have this inherent goodness and the sweetness to it. This is not that movie. And these are characters. There's not a single character in this movie that is considered like the good guy in the movie.
Yeah, there's not a
there's people that
character.
You like maybe more than others, but like every single character is flawed in this movie, and every single character, even the ones that you think are being the victims are actually not the victims. And it's a really incredible movie about class and the inherent differences and built-in prejudices and all of that. And even though it was made, it's a South Korean movie, I think it's extremely relatable. And it's probably my favorite foreign movie that I've maybe ever seen in my life.
Yeah. My number four is The Two Popes. And
nice.
For all the reasons you gave, for me being a pastor and just a theological nerd, just their talks about, between the institution and doing the right thing. And it's just spot on, and it's spot on for almost everything right now for us in this time and place in 2019. So The Two Popes is kind of the thing to watch and be like, we can do that again. We can talk to each other and disagree. And so it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Number three for you.
Absolutely. Number three is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. This is the one that I want to see Best Picture tonight. This is the one you heard me say, I think has a chance of winning Best Picture tonight. It's the more I sit with this movie, the more I just absolutely love it. Once again, two main characters that are not sympathetic. Leonardo DiCaprio's character is extremely selfish and extremely arrogant and insecure and all of these things. And Brad Pitt's character probably killed his wife in this movie. But to take that and to say, like, to still make them sympathetic and charismatic and entertaining, and the storyline that goes in there, I mean, it's Quentin Tarantino at his absolute best.
My number three, and I agree with everything you said about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, probably going to be up higher on my list, is number three for me is Knives Out.
Nice.
And this is just, we talked a little bit about it at one point, I think, but it is a wonderful film, a whodunit, and it's such a film that, when I've seen it twice, that there's no place in this movie that drags, or there isn't a moment after seeing it a second time that you're like, oh, they kind of missed that, or that's a plot hole. It's all really tight, and it's done really well. great acting, great message. Yeah, it's, I didn't know it'd shoot up this high on my list, but after seeing it a second time, I'm like, this is one, I think this will be another movie from 2019 we'll look back on 10 years from now and remember.
Yep.
You know, and this is always the plague of the Oscars. You know, we nominate nine Best Picture nominees, but half of them, maybe more than that, you don't remember in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. Do you remember The Reader? Do you remember, no. You know, Frost Nixon, like, you know, all these movies that were a big deal when they came out and then did nothing after that.
Philomena. I mean, I love that movie, but you don't remember it.
It's a good movie, but yeah, I've not thought about Philomena since you mentioned it. My number two is the cinematic classic, the absolutely amazing, the
I know what this is.
Undeniable John Wick 3. It is. I can't believe I put it at number two and not at number one.
Well, I'm really interested in your number one now. I
think you can figure out what it is, but you'll find out in a second anyway. John Wick 3, holy cow, man. Like, the action in this movie, it's unrelenting. It is what I wanted 1917 to be from, like, an adrenaline standpoint of just, like, it's going, it's going, it's going. Like, we don't have any downtime. Keanu Reeves, I will forever be the number one action star of all time in my mind after this movie. And, you know, John Wick 1 and 2, I mean, John Wick's my favorite movie, my favorite action franchise of all time, far and away. Like, it's not even close. But these movies keep on getting better and better. There's a scene where he has a fight with a guy with a samurai sword on motorcycles. There's a scene with, like, attack dogs with Halle Berry. Like, this movie shouldn't be as good as it is, and it works so freaking well. And I almost want to hang up right now and just go watch it really quick. But I love it. I love it so much. It's such a good movie.
You know, on my full list, I go up to 20. John Wick is number 19. So, yeah. But opposite ends here.
Too low. Way too low.
My number two was, I believe, your number six, which is Avengers Endgame.
Sure.
I think what you said is
right.
Surprised
it's not number one for you. Yeah,
yeah, I know. But it is just, like I've said before, 10 years of Marvel movies all coming together in this one movie should have really been a disaster. And it's it's an incredible movie. It's moving. It pays off in so many different ways. This is really one of those movies, and Marvel does such a good job, not every movie, but most movies, where it has that balance of blockbuster and also just really important themes. And Avengers Endgame does all of that really, really well. And yeah, we'll be talking about this for years to come. So now what's your number one? Cause I don't think I can guess it. I think I might know, but
no, my number one.
What? Did you say it or?
I think that, oh, sorry. My number
froze.
One is Knives Out.
Ah,
okay.
Good.
Knives Out. I mean, number one and number two, it's so hard for me, but, I love this movie so much. It's wildly entertaining. The plot twists along the way. I love a good whodunit. It's so stylistically, it is really, really well done. The social commentary in it. I mean, it does. It's basically a more entertaining version of Parasite in my mind. Where they both have very, very similar themes and similar twists and turns along the way. To me, what puts Knives Out ahead of everything else is the charisma that all the actors have and just how much fun they all seem to be having together. And, you know, Daniel Craig is this, like, southern grizzled detective who is just, you know, trying to get his man. I could watch the movie again and again and again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one. It's yeah, it's one of those surprise hits from the year that, like I said, I think years from now, we'll be talking about that yet. And
yep. And it makes me wonder what Rian Johnson was doing in The Last Jedi. Cause he clearly knows how to make an entertaining movie.
He was making a masterpiece with The Last Jedi. That's his magnum opus.
Is it now? Okay.
My number one is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And, you know, I've talked about before, for me, Quentin Tarantino, I've never been a huge fan. Like, I've enjoyed his stuff once in a while, but this movie blew me away because I really wasn't looking forward to seeing it all that much. I was just like, Quentin Tarantino, it's going to be weird. It's 2.5 hours long. And
it's a long movie.
Yeah. And I remember going to the theater. I'm like, I just feel like I need to see this because this has been talked about a lot. And then I walked out and I was like, man alive, that was really good. And I think it really plays well to people who love movies.
Sure.
And so I'm that person, and everything about it, I just loved. I think the ending, though it's violent, is just the cherry on top of that whole movie.
Oh, it's like a great
it makes the whole movie that came before it pay off. Like the whole time you're sitting there, like, I don't even know where this is going. I mean, it's fun, it's nice, and then when that happens, you're like, oh, it just wraps it together. So that's my number one. All right. Well, thanks for sharing your top 10, and people can check all those out. John Wick is definitely a movie, and Mike really likes it. So.
You got to see all three of them in order for any of it to make sense, though.
Yes. You can't just jump into number three. So, all right. Well, thanks for joining me, Mike, and we will talk to you later. Sacred Screens is a limited series of Voices of Hope. Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. You could find our podcast on any popular podcasting platform. If you've enjoyed this episode or our podcast, please rate and review us, share us with your friends, and we will see you next time.